Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to 360 Life Talk Radio. I'm your host, Leroy Scott. Listen, we've got an exciting show for you today. Got a great friend of mine on the line. Before I get to this guy, I want to remind you that we've got a lot of great things going on at LeroyScott.com, so you want to make sure that you hit the site. You know, we are making lives better. I mentioned in the last broadcast all the great things we've got coming up in February, the new books, the new products, and just left out of a meeting about 20 minutes ago, and we were actually talking about this new workbook that's going to go with Unbreaking Heart. The difference in this workbook, though, it's not just a book that helps you forgive anybody for anything in five simple stages. It's actually a workbook that's going to be able to train counselors, psychiatrists, ministry leaders, pastors. It's going to train them through the five steps in order for them to be able to empower people, not just telling them how to forgive, but actually showing them exactly how to do it. There's a certification program and a whole deal for ministry leaders who are involved in counseling. So it's going to be, I'm really excited about that project. It's, we know our mission is to unbreak 1 million hearts in 2013. And we've gotten a lot of great feedback from a lot of our colleagues who are actually now using the book in therapy and helping people literally break free from unforgiveness and live the life that we believe God intended for them to live. Amen. So today I want to move away from relationships, and I strictly want to talk about revenue. Remember, I've gotten a lot of questions and comments coming in about, you know, entrepreneurship and starting your own business, and I had options. You know, I said, well, get somebody that's already arrived, a multi-billionaire. I get them on, let them tell them, but sometimes they speak like way above your head. And a lot of people were calling in, and you basically just wanted to know how to start a simple business, how to be inspired, and how to be empowered in order to be independent enough to go out on your own and make something happen for yourself. And what I want to do in this show today is I want to inspire you, to encourage you, to make you believe the reality of your life is based upon the principle that the American dream rests in your hands. And we're going to do that in 20 minutes. So I figured out I would contact the guy that I thought was the best at making that happen and engage this guy in a conversation about inspiring you towards entrepreneurship. Now, this guy is a phenomenal guy. He's a businessman. He's an author. He has about 7 or 8 books out there. You may know him. He's been on national radio broadcast. He's led some movements. He's in Atlanta, Georgia. He's in D.C. He's all over the place making a lot of great things happen. And this guy's name is Devin Robinson. So I want to welcome Devin to the show. Devin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for such an illustrious introduction. I don't know if I deserve that much, but I appreciate it, brother.
Hey, my man. Well, you know, in my opinion and in a lot of people's opinion across the country, man, you know, you're the man. Your testimony is a very, very powerful testimony. And, Devin, you know, we're going to, you know, I told you we're going to just, I want to just go into a conversation with you, man, because we've got listeners on the line. And these people, man, they just are desperate, man, trying to figure out. Some of them don't work. Some of them have been unemployed. Some of them have dreams and ideas, Devin, but they just don't know how. They go to church. They're inspired every Sunday. But, man, we want to have a conversation, man, a real talk conversation about how you power move from employment to independence or entrepreneurship. So you tell us from your perspective where we start, and then we'll just go into conversation about and see where we land.
Well, it's very easy, and it's very simplified and practical in the approach that I take in when I teach business anywhere, you know, and I teach, you know, over 100 students every semester at various colleges, business and economics. But the book, I really made it very very easy to understand, very practical, very literal. And Power Move, if anyone has visited or seen the copy of the book, they see an acronym, MOVE. And really the MOVE is the steps that you got to take. It stands for mindset, order, vacate, and execute. The first place you got to start is with the mind. And I know you talk about this a lot, you know, mind, body, spirit connection. And, you know, we do what we believe regardless of what we say, okay? And wow. People go out and say a whole lot of things, but their actions don't follow up with what they say. And really it's because they just don't believe that. So what you got to do in business, if you have to recondition your mindset, because you got to also understand that we live in a society that's based on consumerism and employeeism, okay? So you grow up under that. And you can go to college, you can get, you know, bachelor's, master's, doctorate degrees, you can master in all these, you know, business disciplines and still not get over the hump and reach the level of success that you have the potential to reach. And that's because the infrastructure or the stimulants that we have in our society is not really designed for that. It's not really designed to make everyone successful. It's designed to give everyone the opportunity. But it's not designed for everyone to actually be entitled to success. So What happens is you got to go take a different step or an additional step. And in many cases, those steps are off of the track of the mainstream or off of the track of what's expected of you. So what's expected of you? Go to school, get great grades. You graduate, you go to college, so a good college, you get good grades, you leave, you get a job. That's the pipeline. That's the mainstream society where they go. But if you look at a lot of the self-made individuals, they didn't really follow that track. You know what I'm saying? When you look at cats that reach enormous success, like the Michael Dell, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg, these guys are dropouts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it really takes a level of confidence and risk-taking in order for you to really go to the next level.
Let me interject on that point, because I know some of our listeners because I'm sitting here and I got young kids, right? So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so education is priority in my house. You go to school and you make good grades. You don't drop out of school. And that's not what you're saying. You're saying that, yes, that's good, and that's the infrastructure. And you're right, that is the infrastructure. As a matter of fact, in some of the inner cities or some of the cities in America, if you're not in school, they put you in jail, actually, or put your parents in jail sometimes, right, if your kids are still in school.
Yeah.
So the design of the infrastructure is pipelined towards academic institutions that give you intelligence, get your degrees, get your diplomas, and to get a job. But it doesn't pipeline you towards entrepreneurship and financial independence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Here's the thing. The purpose of going to school, and this is what I tell parents a lot. You know, parents say, you go to school, you get great grades, so you can make a lot of money, right? But that's a fallacy.
Wow.
Because if you really think about it, you can make a lot of money without going to school and getting great grades.
And you can make good grades and not make a lot of money.
Exactly. But the thing is, if you tell a child that you get good grades so you can make a lot of money, and that child drifts into the streets and start making a lot of money from illicit activities or something else, and they don't have good grades, they just defeated your point.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Good grades is not connected to success, financial success.
Wow, Devin.
It's not a connection there. You understand what I'm saying? So that is not the purpose for you to go to school and get good grades or go to an Ivy League college. That's not – the purpose is not so you can be wealthy and successful, because many of the PhDs work for the GEDs. You see what I'm saying? Because the GEDs took the risk. You know what I'm saying? The PhDs
are
safe.
God, I know people are listening to this show. This is amazing stuff. Listen, I know people are listening to this show, and you just did something. I mean, this is revelation, basically. You're saying that, you know, because a lot of us take our kids and they go to the doctor and they say, well, you can go to school for 15 years, become a physician, you can be a lawyer, you can do this, you can do that. And then we're in church sometimes, and that's what really struck me, and we're looking at the young kids and say, they'll go to future doctors and lawyers and future accountants, and, you know, and we have helped to actually confirm the pipeline towards education and success and money. What you're saying is, and we have, I am guilty of that. I am guilty of that.
Right.
I'm guilty.
It's not
of
a
that.
Direct
that's
connection.
Right.
There.
And I'm not the only
it's not
one.
A direct
there's a lot
connection.
Of people on, that's listening to us that are guilty of that. And there's no direct connection between good grades and financial success. But you talk about knowledge, though.
Yes, you talk, absolutely.
Yes,
because the thing is, you get good grades. And like I told him, when I was coming up in high school, or coming up in grade school period, I was a 4.0 straight A kid. But I was also a miscreant. I was arrested. I was facing felonies and all that stuff in high school. So grades really, if you don't have the other component, all you can really be doing is creating a clever criminal. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
The Ponzi schemes, those are brilliant people. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, the grades is not connected to the financial success or the overwhelming wealth or self-made, okay? What good grades is for and what you should tell your children to get go to school and get good grades for, because I'm not against schooling, okay? I'm not. I teach it. I write books.
Right,
I'm not against knowledge.
I mean, you're a professor. I mean, you teach at schools.
Yeah, absolutely. What it's for is to make you a whole person, make you a better person, make you a disciplined person, make you a focused person. That's what good grades are for. Now, once you become a whole person and a better person, now you get the other components that would drive you towards success and money. And when you get that money, because you're a whole person and a better person, you're more likely to stay above the fray and not drift into being the clever criminal. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So the good grades makes you a better person, but then you have other elements that would lead you to success. And those two tracks are supposed to hit a crossroad where they combine and connect, and then you propel forward into financial success, a strong legacy, self-madeism, and you are a quality whole person. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
They should overlap,
yes.
But they are independent. They are independent because you can have
they
good
are
grade.
Independent. They are not
they
interdependent
are
upon one
because,
another. Wow.
Right.
But then you said
connected.
They intersect.
They intersect. But they're not dependent of each other because you can have good grades and be homeless, to be a PhD living under the bridge. You see what I'm saying? But you got good grades.
Yes.
And then you can be self-made, but you're doing criminal activities like the clever criminals, the guys on the streets.
Wow.
Because they don't understand good grades. They don't understand discipline. They don't understand the importance of being a wise person. So you got two different things, but we got to bring them together. We got to stop sending the assumption or the belief or the fallacy to the kids that the good grades lead to overwhelming success, because that's not true. They're not connected.
Wow. Devin, listen,
so that's
what
we start,
amazing.
Right?
That's amazing stuff. Man, you are just convicting me all over the place. I mean, you tear me up. I can handle it, though. That's why I said I got to get this guy on the show. Listen, and I know people, and I see people, they've got questions and stuff, but I want them to listen right now, though. I don't want to ask questions.
Yeah.
I want them to listen. So MOVE, the acronym MOVE, we've talked about M. So keep going.
That's
tell us more.
Thing.
Tell us about the O.
O is pretty much getting stuff in order. See, the mindset is the most important part. If we can conquer self, we can conquer anything. And the biggest battle is with self in Plato's setting, right? So order is the next level.
Wait a minute. Before you do O, we're going to lose a lot of people on the show, because if you've got four acronyms to power moves and success, Devin, I'm going to just be honest with you, man. I work with people all day long. I've been doing it for 15 years. And most people's struggle is getting over self, the mind, not worrying about what others think, building their self-esteem, building their self-character, identifying their self-worth. There are so and if you listen to church, if this church, so I'm a Christian pastor, so if you listen to church language, It speaks a lot to what you consider in power moves. You consider the first stage of moving towards success, which you got three more to go. But I mean, I'm just thinking about how far behind so many of us are in just getting our minds right.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hearing you say is, most of the reason that, and now I'm just going to speak specifically to the African-American culture, because I'm an African-American guy, and I grew up in a single-parent home. You know, we didn't have a lot, and I grew up in an African-American neighborhood. So I know that there were some influences that shaped who I thought I was about myself and you know what I'm saying, and kind of messed mm-hmm. my mind up that really began to hinder me making power moves in my life.
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So if, you know, so you take the kid that you talked about, you know, the clever criminal, right? The kid from the inner city who can go out and say, you know, I'm not working at McDonald's as an employee because, you know, I'm going to make $1,500 a week just looking around, basically. I'm not selling, I'm just watching stuff. And I'm getting paid and I'm making money and I'm making moves in my life. And, man, I'm telling you, Devin, it's something happening within our community that they're not getting fully through what you're talking about because we get stuck with the mind stuff and we're never able to get to the O, the V, and the E because we start trying to get to the N in the beginning. So, you know, you got all
absolutely.
The kids going to jail. You got all the kids trying to make $1 million before they make $100. You got people gambling in casinos. You know, we're doing all kind of stuff. We're talking about having businesses. We got business cards with no business license. I mean,
what's so crazy what you're saying right now? I speak about this a lot, and it's because we don't understand the prerequisites to success, okay? And I actually address this in the book, Power Move.
Mm-hmm.
The 21
yeah.
prerequisites to being a successful entrepreneur. You have 21 prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
And these are areas in your life that you have to really sit back and take inventory and say, do I really have what it takes to even be an entrepreneur? I have several tests in the book for you to self-assessments to see where you are in your life.
Wow.
What
yes.
happens with a lot of the people, like you're talking about the inner city kid who's, you know, doing XYZ, we have an issue with instant gratification, okay?
Yeah.
If we don't think that it's something that's going to benefit us right now, we can feel it instantaneously, we don't understand how to do anything different. So we go after the instant rush over and over, not seeing the big picture or the long term or self-sustainability. I had a workshop a couple of days ago that I was talking about one of the ills even in the black community where we are so creative. And we have so much talent in the black community. Yet,
when
we create something and someone's benefiting from it, it can easily be taken because we don't take the next steps to create sustainability with our creativity.
Wow.
So we would show the creativity, you know, like the basketball players, they would show all this stuff and show their talent. But they don't know how to take their talent and make it into a long-term effect like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's selling more basketball shoes than guys that are playing basketball because he created that self-sustainability. So we got these things in place, the talent, but we don't get the patents, we don't get the trademarks, like you said, the business license, the copyrights, and someone else can come in and say, that's a good idea what this guy's doing. Let me do some research. Oh, he's not protecting it? He doesn't see the legacy or the generational wealth he's creating? Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it and let him think on the next thing, the next hustle for his next year. And every year we come up with new hustles. Meanwhile, the intelligent people are coming right along and creating sustainability for themselves.
Wow.
You know
off the hustles that we – off the hustles that, that kids
off the
are –
hustles.
Young,
see, that's
that people
the thing.
Are,
that's
wow.
That's the word. The hustle word is bad because hustles are temporary. You know, we're saying, I'm going to go get my hustle on, but that's a temporary thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We got to focus on sustainability.
Take us on, man. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Again, everybody, this is Devin Robinson. You got to check him out on his website, www.devinrobinson.com. So hit his website, grab his book, Power Moves, and if you've got a dream or anything you're after, I promise you, it's going to bless you. Devin, listen, walk us through the O, the V, and the E in Power Moves.
Okay. Order. Getting your things in order. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So now we got to look at our resources. What type of resources do we have? What type of talents do we have? Take inventory of your talents and start to create that sustainability like I was just talking about. So you're getting everything in order now that when you actually launch, you get it together. One of the things that I say with my businesses is I don't want my businesses to get too big too fast without the team to help me fight the battle. Okay,
wow.
You don't ever want to go to war when you don't have the right soldiers with you. I don't care how passionate
you are. How do you know who the right soldiers are? How do you know the right soldiers? say, like when you're just starting out. Let's say I'm starting, you know, a barbershop or a beauty salon,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe a beauty supply store or something, and I've got some friends and some cousins and some folk in my church, love God, and we get along.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you start doing business, what should
yeah.
they be looking for in that business relationship so they can keep business and personal stuff separate and
you
get
know
things
so
in order?
Crazy. It's so crazy. I mentioned all of this in the book, too.
Yeah.
You want to look for visionaries, okay?
Wow.
I don't care how close we are. I don't care too much about the friendship when we're dealing with business, because I tell people, you know, business, you know, your profit statement is your profit statement. You can't beg it, justify it, or make excuses for it to turn from a loss into a profit. If it's a loss, it's a loss. That's just what it is. It's quantifiable. It's black and white. So you
right.
got to get the people who can do the job, but you also want to get visionaries. You want to get people that are flexible. You want to get people with a tenacity, and you want to get loyal people. You don't necessarily even have to have the best talent, because talent can be trained. Loyalty
right.
is a little harder to train. You see what I'm saying?
Wow, I'm agreeing
if
with you.
Guy,
it's almost like you have it or you don't. Loyalty is
exactly
like,
have it or you don't. If a
yeah,
guy is sideways, or you know, he's deceitful or manipulative, he's going to give you more headaches than the person who dropped out of high school and don't quite
yeah.
understand the process.
Wow, absolutely.
Of what you're doing.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yes,
you can train people into a skill, but you can't train people into honesty.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Or commitment.
So,
yeah.
So you've got to look for those visionaries. And once you get
wow.
visionaries, you're probably going to go through a few people because, you know, especially if you're hiring people as employees. Employees are visual.
Mm-hmm.
They're not visionaries. So a lot of times they come into your business and they're going to operate based on what they see. If your business is a small business, they're going to act as if it's a small operation.
Right.
And instead of operating in your vision, they're going to operate in their visual. You see
wow.
what I'm saying? So
wow. Say that again.
Go
God. Instead of operating in your vision, they're going to operate in your
in their
visual.
In their
wow.
visual, yeah. That you find that with employees a lot. In order for your business to grow and be strong and sustainable, you need to be operating in your vision. You know what I'm saying? If you have one office with one telephone, that telephone should be answered on time. That business should be open on time all day. Your customer service should be like you are on the 10th floor of a Trump Plaza building.
Right, because you're
in
operating
your vision.
In the vision.
In the
and
vision,
not in the
exactly.
visual. You're operating in
exactly.
what you – wow, that is amazing.
Listen,
that
I
is
tell
amazing.
People, you know, and this is a mindset quote that I tell people, okay? People assume that if they increase their cash flow, they'll solve their problems. But they don't understand if they solve their problems, they'll increase their cash flow.
Wow.
Okay? The cash comes from your mindset and your behavior. It doesn't come before it. So every
wow.
company, every billion-dollar company that you see started with an idea and a mindset. And then the behaviors followed, and then the cash followed the behaviors.
Wow.
I don't care what people think. Money doesn't make happiness, because happiness
wow.
was here before money.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So we create the money. We created
wow.
the money based on our behaviors.
Wow.
So that kind of goes back to the mindset. So the order is just really getting your resources that you have, taking inventory and getting it prepared, your team prepared, your copyrights in order, your whole business getting set up and ready to go
mm-hmm.
so that when you start to execute, which is the E, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, when you start to execute,
mm-hmm.
because you had things in order, you're not going to fall apart.
Right.
Because you were ready for the business that took place. Now,
wow.
V is vacate, and that's vacating the bad habits. And I speak about being highly consumers. In the book, I speak on living on 10% of your income.
You sure
that's
do.
What I do.
Yeah.
10% of your income. The focus shouldn't be, if you want to live to $50,000, you shouldn't go find a job or find income to make $50,000. You should find income that makes $500,000.
Wow.
That other 90% should be going in different places that I speak about in a book, how you allocate it. But your actual consumption, money that's gone that you will never get back, not money that's being invested and being given a return, okay? Money that's gone and will never get back, and money that's being invested is also tithing. So don't think tithing
right.
is consumption money, because that's
mm-hmm.
going somewhere and it's coming back to you. Okay,
wow.
in another form of a blessing.
Lord,
I'm speaking about
Come
money
on,
that eating, drinking, driving
Lord,
your
mercy.
Car, the type of car you got, any type of consumption That lifestyle right there should be only 10% of your income. If you live to 10% of your income, you won't ever be struggling. You won't ever follow the cycles of the economy. The economy has ebbs and flows, ups and downs. While the economy is doing that, you're looking out your window like, oh, man, people are really hurting. I didn't feel that. Because the bad economy has 90% of a dip to go before it affects your consumption.
God. My goodness, Devin.
You understand what I'm saying? So I speak about the consumption theory. So what happens is if you want to live to 100,000, you want to have 100,000 in consumption every year, you better focus on making a million. So what happens is you become more of a producer and less of a consumer. Your mindset shifts into production. And I talk about how you can measure these things into like vacations, okay? You hear people say, I deserve a vacation. I ask them, why you deserve a vacation? I haven't been on one in a long time. Okay, and what makes you deserve it because you haven't been on one in a long time? Well, I've been here working and I just haven't. That doesn't mean you deserve it. You're not quantifying your entitlement to the vacation. For me, a vacation means every time I bank $50,000, that's a vacation. Every time I get a $100,000 contract, that's a vacation. Quantify it, because what happens is before you prematurely reward yourself, you're going to be focusing on the production so you can get that reward.
Absolutely.
If you can just cut a check
and
reward yourself for nothing, just for time, you're not going to get anything in the production side. We got to focus more on production.
So you don't take vacations because you haven't had one in a while. You don't take a vacation because I'm going to tell you, in my work, you're stressed out, you're overwhelmed, then go take a vacation, get yourself back together. What you're saying is different, and it's resonating for me because this is what I found, Devin, as a small business owner and who's been from washing, detailing cars to cleaning buildings to you name it, we've done it. What I've learned is that when you set your leisure and your lifestyle on production, what you find is that when you get that production, sometimes you really don't even spend the money on what you said you were going to spend it on. For example, you know, I say, you know, the way I do, we do cars, right? We do our cars like that. You know, say, well, say if once we get to this, you know, certain number, say in the next quarter, if we get to this certain number in the next quarter, we'll go out and buy a vehicle. You know, we're going to buy, you know, we're going to spend $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 on a vehicle, right, if we do this. And then what we find, when we hit the end of the quarter, we have exceeded that. And guess what? We do not buy a vehicle.
Right, because you delayed the gratification and you got used to not having it.
Absolutely. You delayed that gratification. You got used to not having it. You become less of a consumer, and you move more towards production, 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 and production begins to drive your entire mentality. That is absolutely amazing, man. You don't spend all your money.
Yeah, you change your mindset. You should reward yourself based on accomplishments, not based on time, okay? So, you could say, you know, and of course, I actually heard a pastor say, people think that time heals our wounds, but it doesn't. It's what you do in that time that heals our wounds, and that's really the whole case. Not because you're sitting here all day not doing anything, you know, eventually you're entitled to a vacation. That's like you know, you're looking at a baseball team or a football team. You know, the guys that are working hard on the field, making the big plays, they're the ones that are working. They're producing. They're earning yardage. They're getting passed. But the guy on the bench, how can you say, well, he's been on the team longer than the other guy. He has less yardage. Yes, passes. Yes, runs. You know, but he's entitled to a vacation because he's been on the team 5 years and this other guy has been on the team 5 months. Well, the other guy has been producing.
It's all about production. I'm thinking, you know, for some small business owners out there that's listening or people that are, you know, just starting out in business or whatever, you know, you've got somebody, you know, let's say they show up at work 5 minutes early every day. And let's say they leave 15 minutes late every day.
Mm-hmm.
But
they
never miss a day of work. You can always depend on them to be there. However, they don't get projects done on time.
Exactly.
They don't produce.
Exactly.
So actually you're paying them, and let's say you're paying them by the hour. You're paying them for being there, but they're not producing, so eventually you're not generating. Wow, that is absolutely profound.
Yeah.
That's absolutely profound.
I have a philosophy, one of the things that I do with my team, you know, that works for me. They know what my three Ps are, and they know that that's my focus, and I could care less about anything else. Punctuality, productivity, and performance. Those three Ps are the most important thing to me. If you're not standing in line with those three, you're not doing anything. I don't want two out of the three. I don't want one out of three. I want three out of three.
Wow.
Yeah. Because if we focus on that, then we're getting somewhere. Okay? Productivity is the name of the game. You got to be able to perform. You're not just going to be here and hang around and drink coffee and be the most gregarious one in the office. No, that's not how it's going to work here. You got to perform. And I see through that type of stuff. So as a small business owner, you don't have much risk money. You don't have the resources to float payrolls. You know, go to a bank and say, hey, I need a bridge loan for $20 million because I got this project, I flip this, flip that, do whatever.
Right.
You don't have that. So we got to be precise. Precision is the name of the game.
Wow,
so that's with the V, you're vacating the bad habits. And the bad habits is the way you reward yourself, the way you spend your money, the way you spend your time, the way you may use credit, even some of the habits such as maybe smoking, drinking, the places you go, the people you hang out with. A lot of that, you know, if you look up to the decision you make today, you know, one of the things I tell people is your decisions of today become your best friends tomorrow. If you are in a bad position right now, it's a series of decisions you made. No ifs, ands, or buts. So you got to stop and say, listen, I'm not on the track to success because I've been wanting to open this business. I've been wanting to go to the next level, but it's always been out of my reach. That means there's things around me, there are behaviors, there are elements around me that restrict that, that confines me from getting to the next level. You have to vacate those bad habits, including bad people, bad karma, whatever the case is, so that you can prepare yourself to get to the next level. And that's the third V. That's another difficult step, just like mindset. Vacating those bad habits are very, very difficult.
Wow.
And then, of course,
amazing.
The E is execute. And that's really when we get into the mechanical parts of being an entrepreneur. You know, executing, actually going out, looking for your building, getting the prototypes for your products, finding manufacturers, getting your certifications if you're going to be in some type of service industry, you know, that type of stuff. Now we're starting to
But you can't get to the execution unless you've gotten through the first three. And you actually coach people and train people and teach people and walk people through those steps. Tell our audience, Devin, how they can get in touch with you and just give them some information directly how they can get in touch with you, because I think you can be a great help to some people who are trying to get started out on business. And I've got one more thing I want you to talk about, but go ahead and tell us how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go to PowerMoveProfessionals.com. PowerMoveProfessionals.com. Get information there. I got online classes, the book, workbook, CDs, you know, things of that nature. You can also call me at 404-551-4398. That's 404-551-4398. My phone numbers are on my various websites, but if you really go to my main website, DevinRobinson.com, that's really the center. It'll kind of branch you out to the different tentacles of websites that we have out there, our Beauty Spot Institute, the handling business. We do stuff for, you know, companies, coaching and stuff for companies, training them on their employees. I do that regularly as well, going in. Small companies bring me in to teach their employees workplace economics and really show them how they tie into the big picture of their business. So handlingbusiness.net helps you with that as well. But I'm not that hard to find. If you type my name in, Devin Robinson, D-E-V-I-N, Robinson.com, or Google me, all my information will come up.
Absolutely. And I want everybody, make sure you follow this guy. Make sure you get connected. I'm serious. I mean, just on this call, I know he's made, if you're taking notes and you're listening to him, I know he's making a tremendous impact on the way you're thinking about getting started with your own business. Now, Devin has a story, and Devin, we've only got maybe 3 to 5 minutes left on the show, but I want you to take at least 2.5 to 3 of those 5 minutes. And man, you've got this amazing story as to how you got into the beauty supply business, and I want you to share this story with the audience, because when I heard you briefly talk about that, what happened in that, how a person can change a challenging situation, an insulting situation, derogatory situation, into passion, purpose, and prosperity.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those moments in my life that I never really predicted and know that it would lead to this. I owned a salon and barbershop, and I went out shopping for my salon and barbershop for products for my stylist. I had 12 people working for me. And I went into a Korean-owned beauty supply store, and the guy saw me browsing. Of course, I was trying to get a whole lot of stuff, so I was really browsing the aisles. Guy didn't like it, grabbed a golf club, threatened me to, you know, bust my head open with the golf club, and told me to get out of his store. He actually caught me on a good day because I left quietly. Typically, around that time in my life, I wouldn't have. But I left. But the rest of the day, it nagged at me that this guy was treating me like this. I'm a professional business owner, and this guy is treating me like this. I said, man, what about our kids in this community? I didn't even live in that community, but I know my people were in that community. And I'm like, I wonder how he's treating these kids or other people who may not probably present themselves as well as I do. In the community, and I went and I sat in the parking lot of my salon, and there was an empty suite next to it, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to open a beauty supply store. And I called the landlord, I secured the space, I gave him $5,000 on the spot the same day just to secure that space, and I went out on my quest to open a beauty supply, and little did I know that I would run into so many problems, and I ran into a lot of obstacles, couldn't really get open, a lot of questions were not answered, like many people out in society today. You know, they run into the same challenges. And I went out there and really tried to get, you know, everything I needed to open a business. And it just took me a while to even get in. And when I finally did, you know, I got in, and just having the business experience and knowing a few things, I got in, and I eventually turned the business around. I mean, I got all my money back within 4 or 5 months. And from that, I started getting from the support of the community to some media coverage, and I wound up in Ebony Magazine and in the Black Hair documentary, and all this stuff happened, and people started asking for more help, and I was an author at that time. I only had 2 books at that time. And I said, you know what, I'm going to write a book about opening beauty supply stores. And I wrote the book, and it took off. Sold over 25,000 copies in the first couple months or so, to about 2-3 months. And it really took off from there. And then I just started doing more and more, and I started taking it back to university. We rebranded 3 years ago to Beauty Supply Institute. We got online classes. We started the conferences. And since then, we've trained well over 5,000 people on how to open beauty supply stores. We've opened dozens of stores across the country. We're getting more black people owning these stores. And we did some calculations over the Christmas holidays. And to date, I brought over $10 million back to the urban community by way of opening these stores single-handedly.
God bless you.
So
wow.
It's just a huge accomplishment that we've made in the 6 years that we've been doing this. So, yeah, I took that situation, and it just really morphed into an entire organization. Now we got programs, partnerships with universities, and we're really training a lot of people and getting them into this business the right way, where they can compete and sometimes even out-compete and shut down some of the other stores that were there before they opened.
Wow. Absolutely. Man, that is just an amazing story, man. Every time I hear you tell that story, man, I'm inspired, and I'm just thinking about, you know, many people out there, you know, that you have a bad experience with an organization or a company. You know, you got a bad ice cream cone at the ice cream shop, or a bad sandwich at McDonald's or Burger King. You throw the sandwich back at the people and speed off.
Yeah,
and, you know,
right.
Then nothing happens. But for you, man, it was really about, okay, well, here's my pain. Let me transition my pain into passion and then eventually prosperity. And what I love most about that story, and this is for everybody listening as we close this show out with a phenomenal show, but the pains of life, the mess of life, we turn to messages, and the pains of life, we turn to passion and eventually to prosperity. But it wasn't a focus on money when you heard Devin talk about it. It wasn't a focus on money. It was a focus on responsibility and logic or reason. You know, here's a situation I don't feel comfortable with. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to do something destructive. I'm going to do something that is constructive and something that's going to help a lot of people. And you heard the results of it. Not only has God blessed him, but God has also blessed the community with millions and millions of dollars in African-American owned companies and businesses and other people that he's been able to help start beauty supply stores. So God bless you, Devin. We love you so much, man. Thank you so much, man, for being on the show. I love you like a brother, man, and you know I'll do anything I can for you. I've done it. I just think you are absolutely, man, you're at the cutting edge, man, of getting us where we need to be, man. You challenge us, man. You make us think hard. You make us responsible, man. You force us towards commitment. And I'm going to tell you, man, anybody that really wants to do business, anybody that really wants to be somebody, not just dream about it and talk about it, but really want to do it, you're the guy they need to meet. So I want you to Google this guy. His name is Devin Robinson. He's got a great book out there called Power Moves. If you're in the beauty salon business or you're a barber or whatever, a beautician, cosmetologist, you want to get your hand on his book that shows you what he did with the beauty salon, with the beauty supply industry, and you want to read. Just read this guy. He's got about 8 books out there. One book is about being a rebel. Your young boys are going to love it. Mothers, your sons are going to love this guy. He turned nothing into something, and you heard the guy speak. You heard what he's got to say, and he's just a phenomenal person. So make sure you check him out, Devin Robinson. Listen, I want to say to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in to 360 Life Talk Radio. Listen, I want you to know to make sure that you get on www.leroyscott.com. We are changing relationships, changing marriages, and now we're moving people towards making money. Because there's no reason for you to be struggling, poor, manipulated, sending money to folk that are making promises to you, and at the end of the day, you lose. I want to connect you with people that are real, people that are raw, and people that shoot straight with you and are not going to take all your money and walk away from you. So I want you to get the help you need. I believe it's the help God wants you to have. There are risks you should take, but you should not take blind risks. So at 360 Life Talk Radio, we're connecting you with people that we believe are really going to be able to help you get to where you want to be. Praise the Lord. Well, that's it for now. We hope you tune in next week to 360 Life Talk Radio. I'm your host, Leroy Scott. We are making moves towards prosperity.